Good to be here with you. How about turn to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon wrote this precious book, Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 tonight. I thought about some time ago over in the book of 1 Samuel. You find the phrase in chapter number 25, the bundle of life. And I was reading in my personal devotion, sitting out on deck one morning, and I don't know how many times I have read that, and 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 then it just popped off the page, and I thought about the bundle of life. What is it? God knows the end from the beginning, so God knows where we are tonight. Somebody said, how can he do that? God lives in an eternal I am, or an eternal presence. Listen, God has no past, and God has no future. That's why he told Moses, I am that I am, has sent thee. And that's hard for us to understand. In the middle of absolute one moment of time, God put 7,000 years. The reason he knows the end from the beginning, because he's back here, and he's back here, and he's in the middle, all right? And the omniscience of God. I think as Dr. B.R. Lake and you say, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? So when you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to read the last two verses, and then I want to back up just a little bit tonight. Solomon summed it up by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, what's Ecclesiastes about? The vanity of life. You know, we spend a lot of time doing things that make no eternal difference at all. There's nothing wrong with that. I've been visiting, got to witness to my older brother today. Amen. I had a captive audience. I was driving, and he's afraid to get out. Got to witness to my nephew for about 2 hours today while we were out so-called hunting deer, and I thank God for that. But, you know, the things that really matter. I'm not against these temporal things. I enjoy life. I'm full of life. My wife asked me one time sitting in the study, about 3 years ago, she said, David Johnston, will you ever grow up? And I just grinned and I said, not intentionally, amen. And that's just the way it is. Now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's what it boils down to tonight. Fear God. You say, that's not the end of it. I know, but if you don't fear God, you won't do any of the rest of it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Look at that last verse. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God sees us at night as well as he sees us in the day. The darkness is light with God. Boy, you know, I'm not going to try to explain God tonight. How many times have I stepped out under the stars at night and looked up to heaven and said, God, I do not understand you, but I know you and I love you. And just look, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, his handiwork, day into day. There's no language where it doesn't speak. That's why he said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you can look at a tree or a blade of grass, man cannot duplicate it. You know why? Because it's life. God gave that life. Now, when we get to the end of Ecclesiastes, I often call Solomon the wisest foolish man who ever lived. God gave him so much wisdom, but he said, I tried wine and women and song and lands, and I tried this and I tried that. And he talked about the folly of this life and the madness and the foolishness of these things, and yet he committed them. Did you know in his last days, his strange wives turned his heart from God? Boy, what an amazing thing. Listen. We need to start well, and we need to finish well. That's why he said, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, I want to back up. We're going to break this down, but I've been thinking about the brevity of life. You know, and I'm fine. I think I've got a lot of good years left. To some people, they don't necessarily like that, but I believe I'm going to be around a little while. Somebody said, why? One, I want to be the husband of my wife. I told her, I said, honey, if anything happens to you, I'm not going to remarry. She said, if something happened to you, you don't have to worry about me doing it either. All right. So I want to be there to take care of her. Got kids and grandkids. Aren't they a blessing? Blessed are the headlights that bring them, the taillights that take them home. You older folks understand that. Amen. And I thank God for that. I thank God for my church. Thank God for this church. Got a place to come. I love my church. I love my people better than butter pecan ice cream. And I tell them that is about the highest compliment that I can give. I want to pastor my church. I don't want to turn it over to some, and I use this term like some young clown that'll mess everything up. You understand, Brother Richardson understands all about that. Amen. Now, he's dealing with this. If you go back to chapter 11, verse 9, he deals with a young man. But when you switch over to chapter 12, he talks about the middle-aged man and the older man. And I got to thinking about life. I want to talk to the young people just for a moment, the middle-aged people for a moment, and then you older people just for a moment. You know, it's great to start right, but if you don't finish right, my greatest fear is that one day I'll bring reproach to Christ. That bothers me. We've walked in front of our family all these years. I saved 40 years ago this month on a Sunday night. Sitting on the back pew of a church, not at an altar, I asked God to forgive me. I came to Christ that night. I've often used this term, a bankrupt sinner. That night, in my hand, no price I bring. And I had nothing that night, just as I am without one plea. I didn't walk down that aisle that night. As they started back there, I sat back in the far corner of that church. And I looked up to heaven and closed my eyes. And I begged God to do two things. I asked God to save my soul. And I asked him to forgive my sin. I thank God for that. Listen, God got started at 28. Got started on the right track. Amen. Took a little while to get there. But I thank God I got there. But now listen, I'd hate not to finish. You don't want to start right and finish. I've seen young families busted up. I'm talking about families that were once faithful to the house of God. They're not faithful anymore. I'll guarantee you right now, one of those families has come to your mind. They used to grace the pews of grace. They served God, but something got in somewhere. And it took that family down to the ground. Don't you think Satan is not a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? Somebody said, well, he's had all of his teeth pulled and he just gummed you. Let me tell you something. He'll tear your hide up. Young people tonight, the days of youth. I'm going to read verses 9 of chapter 11 and verse 1 of chapter 12. Rejoice, young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou. Now, young people, I've noticed something that's happening in our churches. You've got a lot of young families not bringing kids. Sunday night and Wednesday night. They'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday school. But listen, it's in our church the same. You know, we take up Change Revival Jug, and sometimes you don't even have any small children to take it up. The adults bring it. These young people need to be shown a consistency in our families. But it has to be from the beginning to the end. They have to see us as we start out with Christ. Led that young man to the Lord yesterday. Listen, he's had a hard background. His wife, he's got two sons, they're separated. He wants to get baptized on Sunday. He said, will you baptize me Sunday? I said, I sure will. He said, I'm going to try to get my wife to come. I'd love to see that young woman get saved, and I'd love to see God knit that family. But you know, when I preach, there's a wall. But when she sees the change, I told him, I said, not everything's going to turn around instantly. You know, a lot of people think you get that instant fix. It doesn't work that way. But I told him, I said, when she sees the consistency of Christ in your life and sees the change that I had 40 years ago, listen, I still use the term, I was converted. That's something you don't hear much anymore. You hear, oh, I've been saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody. Listen, the old people years ago used a term when I was converted. You remember what the Lord told Peter over in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke? He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Listen, that means to be turned around. Listen, God turns them around. What we're seeing is there's a lot of young people out. Now, we've got some here tonight. I want your attention just a second, okay? Rejoice in your youth. You don't have an ache. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, did you know that old people are the biggest carrier of AIDS? Band-Aids, hearing aids, you know, all kinds of aids. Listen, you young people, thank God. Hey, you feel good. And listen, you ought to thank the Lord for that tonight. You go to bed and you sleep in peace and you spring out of the bed the next morning. The other day, I was sitting on the side of the bed and Barbara said, are you getting up or laying down? I said, I don't remember, so I'm going to lay down until I make up my mind. Amen. Just lay back down a little while. Youth. But I want you to notice what he said in here. He said, but know thou for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, he gives a warning in that verse. God is giving you a wonderful life. If you've got a mom and dad in your house that love you and take care of you, you know, kids never worry about, what am I going to eat tomorrow? They don't even think about that warm bed they crawl into at night. And, you know, something comes on called heat. And air conditioning. We was talking to my older brother today where we sleep in an old feather bed. And they kept that room shut up at my great uncle's house. And all they had were two coal grates in the house. And they banked the fires at night. You remember those days? They put ashes on top of the coals and they banked them so they'd have coals in the morning. And boy, that house, ice would freeze. And that feather bed, me and my brother slept together. He said, you remember that bedroom? We went up by that house. I said, I sure do. I said, that was the coldest bed. It felt like it was wet. And we'd lay in a little ball. Didn't have pajamas, little boys sleeping in their underwear, and we'd pull our knees up in the fetal position, and we'd lay there, and it got warm, and then we'd kind of stretch out just a little, you know. And the next morning, you didn't want to get out. That was the warmest bed in the world. Sometimes young people take for granted these things, but one of these days, now look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. Remember now, you see that word? While you're young, give us some young people that will serve God. Keep their lives clean and pure. When I see these little children around here, the first thing I think of, God gave them a very special gift. It's called purity. They're innocent. And you see them, and there's an absolute innocence about these children that the world strips away. The Bible said over in the book of Genesis, when they ate of that tree, that their eyes were opened. They lost that innocence when sin came. But he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Listen, while you're young, young people, don't be afraid to just say, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm going to live for Christ. You say, well, people will laugh at it. They laugh at me. I just laugh back. Amen. I tell them I may look like a red-headed stepchild, but I'm somebody going someplace. And I am happy tonight that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So we need young people that, one, they're going to start right over here. But listen, there's a whole lot more to life than that. Faster, swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You think about, boy, one thing, and I'll get to it in a minute. I look back, my life, it's gone. You say, you're a young man. Longevity doesn't run in my family. My daddy died at 70. Most of my uncles died in their 60s. Hey, that's just the way. And I don't worry about that. My doctor called the other day, and I said, you're worried. I said, let me tell you something. Hey, you pray for my doctor. I've been witnessing to her. Invited her to church, and she said one of these days she's going to come down and hear me preach. And I told her, I want you to know something, lady. I am good to go. I said, if I go or if I stay. Amen. Listen, I don't fear death. I don't fear cancer. I'm like anybody else, live as long as I can, go as long as God releases me. When he releases me, friend, it's going to be the greatest day I ever live. So young people, you've got to start right here. Now, older people, you got to finish right. So you're skipping a little bit. Yes, I am. Let's read a little bit farther. While the evil days come not, and they will come, let me tell you something, nor the years draw nigh, and they will be here, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Some of you older people have had some years you wished hadn't happened. You hit these places in life to where you wish you could have just skipped over that part of your life or redone it or looked back. Somebody said one time, hindsight's 20/20. It's not always that way. We see better back that way. You say, would you change some things if you could do it over? Yes, I would. I'd take a little different path in some areas than I did. But we get into the old life. Look what he said. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. Listen, this is our short home. And the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You say, what is old age? Old age, I believe they're days of deliberation. The older I get, the more that I realize that I will die soon. My wife and I went out a couple of weeks ago and got cemetery plots. Veterans, all of November is Veterans Day. She says veteran, I say veteran. She leaves the E out. They had a sign, veterans free plot. So I said, good time. Amen. We got a granddaughter buried there, and we want to be buried right beside of her. She was buried there in 1997, March the 14th. She died, and they buried her there. We take care of that little grave and said we want to be buried there. So we went by, and we got two plots. Hey, we are now the owners of real estate. Thank God. Did you know in South Carolina that you can bury two people in the same grave? I told her, hey, we're fighting about who's going to die first. I don't want her on top for the rest of the... Hey, man, we got plots. Listen, you get older, you realize something. You look around tonight, and you see people that you have buried. I am burying more than I am marrying. Boy, I listed those names. I mean, people we loved. They were such a part of our life, and we stood and buried. I buried two this year, one in January and one in February, two of the most precious people. One of them was one of the ones that were there when I first came. Her name was Iris Smith, and Miss Iris died. She had surgery, and her heart gave out in the next month. Brother Mel Yarber. Brother Mel was Special Forces. He was a Green Beret, retired military, loved God, loved me. Boy, he was a soldier of the cross, and boy, old Mel gave in to cancer finally. He fought that thing and finally passed on. Listen, we buried them. Old folks, it's a time of realization, so it needs to be a time of reflection, all right? Dust to dust, the spirit to God. Now, we need to look back at our lives where we've been, but we can't change this. But too many old people sat down up here. Too many old people sat down. Hey, we need your wisdom. This dear couple sitting down front, God bless your heart. You've been here longer than Methuselah. I like to come back and see same old faces. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. We need the wisdom. Don't have the strength anymore. Our strength is waning. We're not able. I told the church the other day, hey, I feel as good as I did 40 years ago. I walked back and I thought, I probably forgot how I felt 40 years ago. Amen. I think things are a little bit different. So you've got this. The young people are starting that race. The old people are finishing that race. They need to start right here and end right here. But in the middle sometime is the problem. Sometime in the middle there's a little shaking. The old song said there's a whole lot of shaking going on. I've been preaching through the book 2 Thessalonians. He talked about be not soon shaken or troubled in mind. We find a shaking among people. The old people need to realize, reflect, and friend, just make sure it's right. But I want to talk to you middle age for a second. You say, why? We need you now. When we have work days at church, almost every one of them are over 60 years of age. If you want the church cleaned, it's the older couples that clean. There's some head nodding going on. You say, why? You say, I'm busy. I got kids. I got a job. Listen, when I got saved in 1976, I had a wife and two kids. My wife has not worked outside of the house now in 45 years. When I was overseas, she sent me a letter and said, when you get back stateside, she said, can I quit? I told her, the minute I hit stateside, you turn in your notice. That was over 45 and a half years ago. She's not worked outside of the house. I had to work long hours, children in Christian schools, paying the bills. And yet every work day, visitation day, revival, everything going on, my family was involved. I ran a 63-passenger school bus. But before there, I made the mines in Henderson. I had my mine foreman papers. I went up there. They paid us. We went in, made the mines. I got up early. We made the mines, came back to the house, got a shower, got my family, went and got an old 63-passenger school bus, ran my route, opened the doors of the church, and shook every hand when they came in. That was every Sunday morning routine. Listen, I'm nothing special. We need young families that will step up. Brother Lawrence Richardson, what can I do to take something off of you? We need the strength of young men and young women. I'm talking about you're strong. Oh, you've got the power to go. You've not only got zeal, but you've got something to do it with. But if you're not careful, manhood can be days of wickedness. He talked about the evil days. Days of war, have no pleasure in them. Days of work when the strong men bow. But they need to be days of walking and a witness. So you start here as children. You end up here. But listen, in the middle. You remember somebody preached on the dash, that little stone. I don't think I want a dash. I told my wife, all I want you to do is put two words, gone home. Amen. He's just gone home. He's gone home. He left. He left this world behind. Thank God, took wings and just flew away and got to the house. And hey, praise the Lord for that. But hey, we need the strength of young men. I am slowing down, and my church had better realize that. Brother Richardson's having health problems. You can't go like you did 5 years ago. Somebody said, life begins at 40. You see how that works out for you, honey. It starts drastically downgrade. Tell you that. You say, why? Hey, they don't take men in the military in their 40s. They don't take them in their 30s. They don't really want you in your upper 20s. I'm going to tell you, they don't want you. I get tired of all these crybabies, sitting around the streets today. Oh, got to have a diaper pen, Oh, God bless their heart. When I was in the Army, 18-year-olds were dying. Carried machine guns, and they walked through the jungles, friend. And in World War II, they stormed the beaches of Normandy and the South Pacific. 18-year-old kids. Audie Murphy cheated to get in. We need the strength of our youth tonight as we... But listen, we've got to have them all. We need our young people because that's what's going to grow the church. kids get up, get out of high school, go to college, and they decide all of a sudden they don't want to go to church anymore. Isn't that something? I had a drug addict when I was young. You know what it was. My mama drugged me to church. She drugged me out of bed. She drugged me to school. She drugged me everywhere. You know, we make our kids get a bath and put on deodorant and brush their teeth, but don't make them go to church. Isn't that something else? So now, listen, I'm talking about the bundle of life. See, this thing ties together. That's what makes a church. You've got the young kids. You need the young kids. If some of you, it's not just a pastor job. If you know some young families, encourage them to get their kids in church. They need to be there Sunday morning. Hey, they need to be here tonight. Oh, well, they got school tomorrow. Well, bless their heart, they had school when my kids were little. I mean, you know, they act like they're the only ones ever raised a kid. They got the ticket on it. You know, I found out now that you don't give kids, babies, water in a bottle anymore. You know, they tell you now not to give them water. I scratch my little head and I think to myself, I gave mine the bread and water of affliction when they were little bitty fellers. We need the youth. We need the old. We need you middle age. And you see, that makes up not only the bundle of life, but it makes up the church. Someone said one time that churches are only one generation from extinction. One. We are seeing these churches, I'm talking about good churches, as they go down. And listen, I've studied a whole lot about the New Testament church, and I'm going to tell you something about New Testament churches. You got the great big one at Jerusalem. Wasn't that a big one? Disobedient to God. That's why he raised up Saul of Tarsus. He smashed that church, made them obedient to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, you're to go here to here and here to here. And they sat there in Jerusalem building that church. So he raised up a man that stomped that church and scattered the embers all across Asia Minor, Asia, and Europe. And then he saved the instrument of persecution and sent him to the Gentiles. But all the time he's writing to the church in somebody's house. That hit me one day. Their houses weren't as big as my house. You know, this thing of gigantic churches, Christ couldn't, he couldn't hold them. You hear what I'm saying? The apostles couldn't hold them. Matter of fact, when Paul writing to Timothy, he said, all the churches in Asia have forsaken me. In his lifetime, they turned their back on the Apostle Paul. So I'm not talking numbers tonight, but I'm talking about individuals in the church. The church is not this building, it's you. We need our kids, we need our old folks, and we need a thriving populace in the middle of people that are willing to bear and shoulder the burden of this work to make sure that it continues. Why? If they don't, then the kids are going to get out anyway. When they see church doesn't mean anything to mom and dad, it certainly will not mean anything to little Bob and little Billy and little Susie and little Joan. The bundle of life. We're getting older. I'm not afraid of that. Listen, don't you be afraid of it. You know, Jesus, the greatest day you'll ever live will be the last that you breathe. And I thank God for that blessed hope tonight. But listen, my concern is the churches. I want to see them flourish. I want to see people get saved and get in, get converted, and get in and start serving God. Get on fire for God. Young man, remember now thy Creator, not later, not sooner. He said right now, in the present tense, remember now. Every day, remember now. Now's the time to serve God. You may have to serve it alone. So I'm going to give you something good with there. If you got to serve God alone. You ever thought about that? Just make up your mind you're going to serve Him alone. When I see churches shut down on Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know what the pastor always says? People don't want it. You ever hear them say that? Now, my Bible says where two or three, that's the pastor and his wife. You ever thought about that? I thought to myself, pastor and his wife didn't want it. Okay? We've got to keep that light shining and keep the church vibrant with life. The difference between the Dead Sea, which is the richest sea in the world, and the Sea of Galilee is one thing. The Galilee has an inlet and it has an outlet. And it's full of life. But the Dead Sea only has an inlet. And nothing exists there but its riches. Amen. Brother Lawrence, amen. I'm going to turn it over to you tonight.